Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where are the wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded signs, and Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord. To God.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Lord is a great God. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, reading from verse 13. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. From Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So do take your seats. Okay, foolishness is my subject for the day. Shall I move this down a bit, Andy? Better? Foolishness? Can you hear me still? Yep. Okay. Foolishness is my subject for the day, and you may well think, well done Andy, at last you've given Dave a subject he knows something about. Oh, specialist subject, okay, mastermind specialist subject. On the other hand, you may think something else. Quite apart from me, there's plenty of everyday folly about, isn't there? I mean, I could be here all day, but I read this week in the paper that people have been contacting the police, even dialing 999, because KFC have run out of chicken. I mean, it is a national emergency, I know, but I'm sorry, if that was you, by the way, I'm sorry about that, but you can explain to me afterwards why that was such an emergency that you had to ring the police. I also came across a little story this week about a man walking along a beach who came across an old bottle. He picked it up, popped the cork and out popped a genie. "Thank you for releasing me from the bottle," the genie said. "In return, I'll grant you 3 wishes." "Great," says the man. "I've always dreamed of this, and I know exactly what I want. First, I want £1 billion in a Swiss bank account." And then poof, and a flash of light, and a piece of paper with an account number appears. "Secondly, I want a brand new red Ferrari." Poof, another flash of light, and a red Ferrari appears right next to him, but not buried in the sand. "Thirdly, I want to be irresistible to women." Poof, there's another flash of light, and he turns into a box of chocolates. Anyway. Isn't it good to laugh at the folly of others? But it's also good to acknowledge and confess our own foolishness. And Lent is as good a time as any to do that, isn't it, really? Despite my attempts at humour, foolishness is a serious business, as I discovered, because there's lots about foolishness in the Bible, wherever you look. Matthew 5, 21 and 22, for example, Jesus is teaching on murder, so serious stuff. And the guardians of the Jewish law knew that murder was wrong. That was a pretty no-brainer, really, for them. And they appear to have added specific laws to that, such as not calling someone raka, which is, we're not quite sure what that means, but it means something like bonehead, I think. But Jesus said just calling someone a fool was worthy of judgment, going way beyond the letter of the law in which those who he was talking to were the experts. So it's a serious business. Calling someone a fool, foolishness is a serious business, really. And according to Jesus, what we do with our tongues certainly is a serious business and can lead us into all kinds of folly. But in the 1 Corinthians passage that Frieda read for us, Paul is warning the church at Corinth not to get sucked into the wisdom and philosophy of the current age, but to recognise that they were the called out ones, ecclesia, that's the word for church in the New Testament mostly, the called out ones who needed to trust in the foolish message of the cross. A bit later on, after our passage, Paul even adopts a sarcastic tone with the Corinthian church. He says, "We," talking about himself and his companions, "we are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ." That's 1 Corinthians 4:10. And he even says, in a little later on as well, that they at Corinth have become arrogant. So, why foolishness then? Why foolishness? Because, I think, in summary, it's about the cross of Christ, which is foolishness to the world, just as much now as it was then. Because the cross was about being cursed, not being blessed. It was about being humiliated, not being honoured. It was about sin, not righteousness. It was about offence, not redemption. And it was about death, not about life. And Paul himself would have known the proverb from the Old Testament, Proverbs 14:9. It says, "Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright." So the fools are the one who mock at the possibility of putting things right. Well, Paul certainly had his views about what was wise and what was foolish turned upside down by the risen Jesus. So much so that he became a reckless fool, willing to do whatever he could or whatever it took to make Christ known to all that he met and in whatever circumstances he met them. So what about us? What kind of fools are we? Are we the kind of fool that says in our heart, there is no God? Psalm 53. or even the kind of fool that says the right things in church, but acts as though there is no God for the rest of the week. According to Jesus, we can be rich fools, as in Luke 12. We can be foolish builders, Matthew 7. And we can even be foolish virgins, Matthew 25. But however we are journeying through Lent, the challenge is to recognise the foolish wisdom of God, who gave his one and only Son, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Long live God's foolishness. And just to finish with, this morning we came across a newsletter from Martha, who some of you will know, Martha in Venezuela. We haven't heard from her for a little while, but she sent a newsletter this morning. And there was a good little example of foolishness there. She talked about the fact that, if you're aware, that the situation in Venezuela is as bad as it could be, with inflation in thousands of percents and a government that seems to not care for the people but be more interested in feathering its own nest and all the rest of it. And so the people are very poor at the moment, and people are leaving the country in thousands. But she gave an example of how God is blessing his people there. And what struck me was the foolishness of an old lady who came to one of their services in their church. And she said she gave the last money that she had. All she had was enough for a bus fare. And she gave it. And she said this woman was amazed that by the end of the service, she had received back 1,000 times, 1,000%, 1,000% of what she'd put into the offering. So, generosity. It's foolish, isn't it, to be generous when you have so little. And yet, God honours those who are foolish in that respect by giving them more than they could possibly think or imagine. Amen.